I think yoga is the practice of paying attention. On this podcast, Yoga Strong, we talk about what paying attention on the mat, what being aware and being present, whether you're in the studio or out of the studio, or in the kitchen, or with your family, or with your friends, in connection, in your heart, in your head. What does paying attention look like for your life? That's what this podcast is all about. That's what Yoga Strong is about. It's not just strong in your muscles and strong in your movement on the mat. It's strong everywhere. This is Yoga Strong with your host, Bonnie Weeks. Welcome to the podcast, everyone. I have a guest with me today who I have known for years, but actually this is the first time that we've had a voice conversation, because such is the nature of, you know, Instagram relationships. So welcome, Tara, to the podcast.
Thank you so much for having me.
Yeah. I mean, I don't know how excited you are for this. I'm really excited, mostly because when I think about coming and visiting Colorado, I'm just like, I just have to go and hang out with Tara because she's really cool.
Yes. That's how I feel about Portland too. I'm like, all right, we're going to Oregon and I need to go see her. So yes, I feel the same.
Well, and Colorado, I've only been there once when I was in fourth grade. And that was a long time ago.
Long time ago. I don't know how old you are, but I feel like that was a long time ago either way.
I'm 37, and my youngest child is a fourth grader, which actually is kind of crazy because I had a friend who moved there, and my mom let me fly there by myself. And thinking of my youngest son, my fourth grader, like flying somewhere by himself to go visit a friend, I'm like, wow, okay, cool.
Isn't it funny like how different the world is right now, especially in 2020? But I'm like, yeah. I used to do things a lot by myself, and now I'm like, I don't even want to, and I'm in my 30s.
Yeah. I mean, I do a pretty good job for airlines with kiddos and stuff, and I've had my kids fly by themselves. The very first time was absolutely the worst, because I don't know, as a parent, you're like protecting your kids and feeling like, okay, there's this person, you have your eyes everywhere, and all of a sudden they walk away and you have zero impact on anything. Mm-hmm. And it was like, I was like, oh, I'm just going to sit here and cry for a minute.
Yeah. I can see it being like super scary too. You're like, what? Anything can happen. What ifs? All these what ifs.
Oh, I know. And then anxiety is high. And then you're like, okay, stop. None of this is helpful. Yeah. Anyway. Okay. Well, that was a good tangent. Welcome to the podcast. Oh gosh. Okay. About Tara. Tara, you are a strength coach. You are a yoga teacher. You are a business owner. You are really getting into mountain biking. I mean, you can clarify that if you want to.
Yeah. I've been loving it recently, for sure.
Well, and I like your post recently where, you know, you went for the first time and we're like, well, that sucked. And then you're like, okay, actually I'm going to try this again. And so I would introduce you to as somebody who is not afraid to try new things and is excited for the discomfort of growth.
Oh, I like that.
I think, as you know, coming from a trainer mindset and myself being enjoying discovering what my body can do and seeing how we are connected in some way through that, and seeing the way that you show up in different ways, that's definitely a sense that I get from you.
Yeah, I really do feel like I try a lot of things. Sometimes it's always really hard the first time, and then I'm like, okay, just maybe like one or two more times, and then it gets easier, just like anything else, right? And then you only really want to do things that you're really good at. So I'm like, all right, well, I'm going to keep doing it until I get really good at it. And if I can't, well, I'm either moving on or I'll try harder. Yeah. I like to use that sometimes. I'll be like, just try harder and see what happens.
You know, there's sometimes when I work out and I think, okay, so don't count any reps at all. And when it gets hard, then count some reps.
Oh, I like that.
And do some more. Mm-hmm. And sometimes I'm like, wow, I just have been doing 10 reps of whatever exercise I'm doing. Like 10 is like a go-to. I'm like, okay, 10 or 12. I'm like, wait a second. If I've been doing that for years, like, let's come on, Bonnie. Let's do something else. Like, let's like think outside of what you've been doing. But I think really that mentality too, I even like your phrase of just try harder, right? And that can look like so many different things, you know, depending of course on the thing, mm-hmm. on the situation, on the person, on the day, on the hour.
Mm-hmm. Very true.
And the grace then that you give yourself to not have it be a shaming game in that phrase as well. And I think I really enjoy the way that you talk about what health and wellness is, what a body has to look like or not look like, and where it try harder doesn't mean look a certain way. It doesn't mean achieve this goal over here. It's what is the thing that you're doing and try harder there, and without a shame, and kind of in you know, that play of accepting what you're doing.
Yeah. And that's also really interesting that just the word shame in general, like, I don't know about you, but I really try to like stay away from that word, but sometimes it's really helpful for me to sit in that. Like I'm a 7. I like people. I'm an extrovert. I'm like, everyone's happy. I'm a trainer. You know, you're a coach too. It's like, everyone's good. We're good. Happy, happy. And then it's like, sometimes I don't sit in that negativity or that shame as much. And sometimes I really need it. Do you feel that way too?
Yes.
Yeah. Shame is like one of those words I'm like, oh no, let's talk about something else, or let's do something else. Like I very much am like, let's change what I'm doing so I don't have to think about that.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Yeah. And I think that like the positive outlook, you know, being taking all of pushing that down. But I think, you know, reading Brené Brown's books and things, mm-hmm. and talking about shame, and I like the language, because I think shame is one of those too that it's like, what does that mean? Like, what does that, like, what are other words besides shame that could describe shame? And so I really liked her description of saying it's where you don't feel like you belong.
Yeah.
And you don't feel like you're lovable, and you don't feel like you're worthy of somebody else's attention or care, right? Or belonging in some sort of circle. And I'm like, oh, okay. So it's when you're feeling those types of feelings of, oh, am I good enough to be here? Am I afraid of people not loving me? That there's maybe some element of shame in that, mm-hmm. in that kind of situation. And adding more words to it, I think is helpful for me to kind of de-escalate the, maybe like the bigness of the word shame.
Mm, that's interesting. But that's still kind of, for me, I'm like, okay, well, am I still trying to get away from that?
Mm.
You know, yeah. Like for, I mean, I just feel like I am, I would say, a normally pretty positive person. I have a really positive outlook, but sometimes it's hard for me to like sit in that a little bit, or like, why do I actually feel that way? I don't even think about that. I'm like, let's change the subject completely. So sometimes I need to like realize like, why am I thinking or feeling that way for me to move on from there, instead of just kind of like pushing it off to the side. Does that make sense?
Yeah. Like, why do you like almost, are you saying that you're wondering why you even push it off to the side?
Yeah.
It?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Let's, I mean, let's like zoom back to the beginning of saying, let's get uncomfortable.
I know, right? Yeah.
And like the difference, you know, and this is, you know, you have been moving your body in a lot of different ways. In college, you're a collegiate athlete, right? And you have been a trainer for a long time. You've been a coach for a long time. You've watched people's transformation over years. Like years, you've been doing this and watching your own body and helping other people with their relationship with their body. And the difference it is where we can get our physical body uncomfortable, but how that 100% relates to that emotional body, right? The way we think about things, the way that we feel about things is 100% connected with are physical, right? We can't separate those things, those parts of us. But that sometimes, you know, single leg box jump squats might be easier.
Yeah, exactly. That might actually be easier than anything else that day.
Oh, right, right. Like that. And I think that's why movement is an escape in a way from sometimes like the head things, because it makes us clear and it gives us like that one thing we're focusing on. And, you know, hopefully then over time we can, I don't know, for me, I'm just like, okay. So when I first started yoga and I wasn't taking that practice anywhere with me besides the mat. And then I was like, oh, okay. So there's a process of like the lessons you learn with your body and like embodying those in the other ways in your life. I know for me, it's like, that's a different journey than learning how to single leg box jump squat.
Oh, I totally agree. And I really do feel like movement just comes a little bit easier to me. So I'm like, okay, well I know at least where my mind and my body can go. And sometimes, like you said, like it's easier to do a crazy movement or lift a really heavy weight than to like get in my head and figure that kind of stuff out, which sounds funny saying it out loud, actually.
It does. And at the same time, seeing where you are in life. And, you know, we followed each other back and forth and communicated back and forth before you even started doing any of your online training.
And oh, which, yeah. is, That's crazy.
Which has been a bit, right? Yeah. And so I don't know, like the growth that does come, even if it feels like a different process from like the physical to the head, that it does make a difference. And I think the stuckness, I'll just use that word, that we feel like sometimes in our body for our head or our heart or our emotions or whatever we're processing or trying to make decisions about, that it is like imperative. Like I know you think this, like it's imperative to move your body. Your body, like moving your body, like changes the way you feel, right? Mm-hmm. It changes the way that your bowels function. Like it changes the way, like all of these things that do affect like the rest of your day. And so while in some ways a moment might feel easier to go lift something heavy versus, you know, kind of sit in some sort of feeling, it's doing this, it's still working. It maybe is a different type of route, but I still believe it makes a difference. And looking at where you've come in your journey and the way that you're able to help other people and start a business, right? And face the things that like come with that, and with your own personal life, and all the things that it is having a positive impact on how you are navigating the internal world by having this physical external practice.
I feel like this is kind of like a little therapy session for me. So I appreciate that. I'm like, wow, like I'm all over here and like Bonnie's bringing me back home. So I appreciate you grounding me a little bit in that sense.
Yeah. Well, I just think you're doing really good things. And I think for me, when I am talking to people about movement, I mean, I've recommended to people to just dance and just say, is there a song that makes you feel like moving? Don't pull out your mat. If a yoga practice isn't feeling good right now, and it's not feeling like you can like arrive there, and there's an anger with that. I mean, there has to be a point where you can actually show up. And if that's not where you can show up right now, forget about that. Like it's okay. Like all these things, right? Like the set of weights are not going anywhere. Like as coaches, we're not going anywhere. The yoga mat's not going anywhere. What do you need right now? How do you find that connection again with your body in a way that it's going to tap your emotions in the way that you need at this moment? And maybe that's just like stand in your kitchen and shake your shoulders to some music. And maybe that's the way in to your body.
You know, I love me a good dance break of the day. So I definitely agree with dancing for sure. It always helps.
You do. I love that you share all your dance breaks too.
Yeah.
Okay. You finished college and did your personal training certification right after that, yeah?
No, it was probably about four or five years after that, actually.
Okay. Tell me more.
Yeah. Yeah. So I went to high school for track. I was going to say that, but I mean, I was an athlete all growing up. So like school was kind of like the back burner for me, but that's kind of funny that I just said it like that. But I went to college for track, but I went there and graduated with a marketing degree. Kind of in my head, I tell this story a lot because I think it's funny today, but I always thought I'd be, did you ever watch the show Mad Men?
Actually, I did not watch it, but I know the premise.
Okay. So it's really just like New York City advertising world. And right. There's these women like, and it's also in like the 50s or 60s or something. And so There's some women in the show that I'm like, oh, I want to be like them. They're super badass. And they're just in the, they're just like owning the conference room, wearing all these cute clothes, which is funny because I don't wear normal clothes at all today. But I'm like, I'm going to be this awesome lady in the advertising world. So I got a job right out of school in the insurance world, which is the opposite of that. It's very boring. But I worked my way up to getting in this advertising agency. And then when I worked at the advertising agency, I was like, this is awesome. This is awesome. And then I realized this is not for me at all. And so I actually got into fitness I went to a couple boot camps at the park and I was like, you know, this is where I want to be. This is cool. This is fun. And also when you're like an athlete for so long and that's kind of taken away from you, you kind of lose this sense of identity. I didn't have that anymore. And then I found this workout in the park. And so I would go to the workouts for about a year when I was working in advertising. And then I got my group cert first. And so I would go, you know, work 9 to 5 and then I'd teach the 5:30 class and then just kind of gradually, as I was at the gym, I just wanted more classes. I just loved being there. So I would teach like early morning. I'd go to work 9 to 5. I'd teach at night. Like it was like this like cycle. But like all along, I thought I had to have like a 401k and benefits and, you know, all of that kind of jazz that you are, quote, supposed to have. So it actually took me getting fully laid off from my job for me to make fitness a full-time thing. Yeah. So the rest is kind of history, I guess.
Well, I feel that in a way with COVID, where I mean, I've been online for a long time. I've been on Instagram since 2014, but I always opted for in person. And also if I'm super honest, because I mean, I've been thinking a lot about this because I mean, this is still our world that we're currently living.
I
definitely had fear. Like I was afraid of showing up online in a bigger way and teaching online. There was a different sort of feeling to that. I felt like it was going to be more unforgiving. I felt like I wasn't going to be good enough. I felt like, I don't know, I felt like I had all these different feelings. And when COVID then presented itself and I just stepped in, right? And I'm like, everything, I'm like, lean in, just lean in. And so I leaned into it. And the way that I feel like I've improved as a teacher, the confidence that I have in showing up with other people, the people that I've met around the world, the coaching, the teaching, all of it is, it's been so big. But again, same. It's because there was a closure of sorts.
Yeah. Isn't it crazy how you're put into this position and you're like, well, I can either just sit here or, you know, we can adapt and evolve to it. And of course, it's funny you even said, I just want to bring up the fact that you said, I didn't think I was good enough or I didn't think that I could. Yeah. Like this imposter syndrome that goes in and out of our heads is crazy and it happens all the time. And I think a lot of people that come to our classes don't think that we still go through that, but it's like, oh my gosh, sometimes I'm in front of a class or I have, you know, my online program and I'm like, do I even deserve to be at this table? I'm like, hell yeah, I do.
Yes.
You know, I kind of have to step back and be like, oh yeah, yeah, I belong here. Just like you belong there, you know?
Yeah. Yeah. And I think even, I would say it's even in podcasting for me, right? So to say, am I worthy of this hour talking to Tara? And to have these stories in my head of saying, regardless of where people have been, what people have done, the stories that they have that I don't have, the maybe experiences, the travel, the expertise of certain fields, does that make them any more or less valid of having a conversation with me? And, you know, this is my own head talking, saying like, it's just, we're all people. And none of that means that anybody's more or less valid to have a conversation with, you know?
Yeah. To have a conversation with, to work with, to have a relationship with, you know, it's a lot, so much of that kind of stuff is in our head. And then you really have to step, for me, I have to like step out of it to be like, oh yeah, yeah, I belong here. This is good.
Exactly.
Do you do that too?
Yeah. Yeah. And again, I would go back to Brené Brown because I really love her book, Dare to Lead. I think it should be required reading for any sort of training. And especially, I mean, I'm really geared towards yoga. So yoga teacher training, I think every training should have that book because you're a leader. And I would say the same thing for personal trainers, right? You're the way that the community views you as a leader doesn't leave when you leave the room. And what does a leadership life look like? And if trainings and certifications aren't teaching us how to be better leaders of human beings with emotions and how to do that better, like, I think that's a missing piece. But
yes, I totally agree with that.
Yes. Keep going. Do you have any other thoughts on that?
No, I mean, it's like being a coach is like, yeah, you can go through the certification process. Like, I don't know. Are you NASM? Are you a personal trainer too? Or yoga?
Yeah, NASM. Both.
Okay, yeah. So when you took NASM or when you did any of these like, you know, tests that you can do online or whatever, do you feel like you got the same out of that test than you do with like working with humans one-on-one or like figuring out their body? Like that's what it should, that's what a lot of these certifications and stuff should be. But
oh, absolutely.
We need something to say that we're trainers, which is fine. And I appreciate that. But like, there's so much of what we learn and know should be by experience and by learning through other people. And I think that's a value that's not added in a lot of certifications and schooling really out there.
Yes. Okay. I have to loop back and I did not finish it. That's not going to make sense before. I was looping back to say Brené Brown was saying it's all about people. It's like people, people, people. And so that it doesn't matter. Like just show up, just show up. And these are all people that are human beings that are washing the dishes and hanging out with their family in the backyard. And, you know, this is like kind of de-escalating, I don't know, that imposter in us that comes up, right? So that was my connection piece with Brené Brown before then I went into this other sidetrack, but
that's okay. Yeah. That's how a conversation goes. That's also how my mind works. Or like, do you have 97 tabs open on your computer or is that just me?
No, I do actually. And then I divide them in multiple windows here.
Oh God. The window thing I can't do. Cause then I'm like, how do I get to the other window? It gets lost and just all over the place.
Yeah, no, it's multiple windows, but I want to jump though to your leadership. And I agree with you. And 200-hour teacher trainings. I mean, now things are changing because of COVID where they are online and you just can't, there's something different with being in the room and, and yoga trainings are across the board, like so different where I would say we'll use NASM for example, NASM personal training certification is like one thing. So there is one single base that everybody is getting, which in a way is actually then really nice where yoga teacher trainings, it looks like 5,000 different things depending on where you
where you go, what is that like power, what do you, what is smart, like what are you doing, you know?
Right. And where I think regardless of whether it's a yoga training though or it's NASM training, that it's the analogy that I use is it's a doorknob to walk into the room to actually learn.
You're like, ooh, okay, I like that.
This is the tool that you use to do the thing now and to actually be in the learning process. And that being a teacher and being a coach is a practice as much as anything else we might do.
I think also maybe it gives people either A, validation, but also B, some of the confidence. Yes. Like confidence, you know, coming with experience, like especially if you're first starting out with anything, it gives you that validation of, yes, you deserve to be here training Bonnie right now at the gym. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. And also I learned about it and I feel comfortable with it and I can't learn anymore without experience.
Yes.
And so, yeah, interesting.
It's like, what's the next thing? Yeah. And I think for me, I've never actually taught corporate as in some box, right, or some other gym facility. I've only ever coached, as far as personal training goes, out of my own place. And So I think for me, there is a piece where I feel like I have a lot to learn and a lot that I want to learn from working with other trainers in kind of the fitness part of movement that I do.
Have you just always done it at your place because that's what how you started?
Yeah.
Oh, that's interesting. I actually don't know very many trainers that started at home. It's usually like, from what I know, is that people started a gym and then they kind of moved to do their own business or do it at home. So,
yeah, I've only started from there. I was working out, and then I had some friends that would ask me questions. And so I just put it out on like a small Facebook group. I was like, hey, if you guys would be interested, you know, do you want me to write up a workout and then you guys come over twice a week and I would tell you what to do? And they said, yeah. And so I started doing that. And I did that for probably a year and a half before I got my NASM training, my NASM certification.
Yeah.
And I taught them a year of yoga before I got my yoga training in my garage. So it all started here.
Nice. It's all at home. And you're like, well, I'm home anyway. Might as well just do it here.
Yeah. And little kids. And now, you know, it's funny with COVID. Now I'm hosting classes. I'm going to host another second one too this Sunday back in my garage again. And I feel really grateful for the space and the time in between, and all this, the COVID world of how things have changed has been interesting. And the people who showed up at the beginning who really instilled this confidence in me. They're like, yeah, okay, just teach us what you know. Just teach us what you're doing. And I think getting into yoga in that way, getting into yoga teaching, I started practicing yoga, and I pretty soon, you know, after I started practicing, was thinking that I would teach it. And I'd already been coaching people in my garage. So it felt like a natural progression in a way.
Mm-hmm.
So yeah.
For me with yoga, I always, like, I've been a explosive and powerful, like more of a strength athlete. Like I was a sprinter, and yoga was always something that I thought as like, it's too slow. I'm not patient. I can't calm down. I don't want to lay down. Like that was always like it for me. And then the gym that I was going to is attached to a yoga studio. And I actually went to a couple classes and I really liked it. And I was like, oh, well, if I actually just gave it a try from the beginning, my body probably would have liked me a little better. But I started going and I really enjoyed it. And I just enjoyed what I got out of it, not necessarily even the asanas, but the actual fact of being there in that moment. I'm someone that's very scatterbrained, and it's hard to be present. And that gave me that. And I was like, okay, well, if this did this for me, I want to get knowledge where I can teach this to other people as well. So,
yeah. Because you've done your yoga training a bit ago as well.
Yeah. It's already been 3 years, which is crazy. I was like thinking about that the other day. I was like,
okay, this is good. This is good timing. Cause I'm like, I don't know. We seriously have been following each other for a long time, but it was before you got your training, but even before you went into that for sure. Yeah,
that's crazy
that we've been connected.
You know, I was thinking, Bonnie, were we following each other when I was La Fit Tara and not Tara LaFerra? Yeah. Oh yeah. My God, yes. Okay, so that was like at least 4 or 5 years ago now.
OG.
I thought that my name was like the coolest ever, and no one knew what it was. They were like, oh, so I thought this was because you were from LA. And I was like, no, it's just my last name and then my first name. I thought I was so funny and so cute. And then no one understood it. So I was like, okay, I'm just going to be my name.
Well, and your name is of course fun to say.
So. Yeah. Well, I mean, it's hard to spell though sometimes.
Well, we have followed each other for a long time. I mean, I haven't changed my name at all. It's just now I'm like, oh, it's just what it is. Now I'm a carrot. I'm a carrot bowl.
Yeah, how did you get that? Where did that come from?
I had started a food blog and had named it Carrot Bowl.
I love it.
Carrot Bowl after my kid's dad's parents would have a bowl of carrots in the fridge to eat from, especially when money was a little bit tight, and that was what you could always snack on, but you couldn't snack on anything else without asking. And for some reason, that story, I was like, okay, Carrot Bowl. I'll call the blog that after that story. And then I found Instagram and thought it would be an extension of a food blog, but right away it did not become that.
But that's okay, because like you picked it and you've stayed with your word.
Yeah, and it's good. I've gone in and out of. I was like all about the carrot bowl, and then I hated being a carrot, and then I said, "What the hell? Doesn't matter. It's funny. Let's go." Yeah.
It doesn't really matter, really.
It doesn't really matter. And I think when people ask me, like, "Should I change my name? Should I do this?" and I'm like, "Change it to whatever you want. It doesn't matter."
Yeah.
So.
And now people are probably like, well, I'm not going to look for Bonnie Weeks. I'm going to look for Carrot Bowl.
Right.
They're always going to think about it.
Carrot Bowl Bonnie. Mm-hmm. Or it is funny to me when people say, "Hi, Carrot Bowl. I don't know what your name is." And I was like, "It's Carrot Bowl Bonnie." Like, how did you miss that part? Yeah. Oh, gosh. Okay.
Yeah, there's a lot of that on Instagram.
You're like, what is your name? Tara. It's my handle. My name is my handle. I have really appreciated recently. You've been talking about, this workflow of doing your own business, and especially of it online. Doors never close. Like, there's never a closed sign. There's always something more to do. There's another thing on the website to always change. There is programming always to be done. There is an email always to be sent. There is always things. And going into personal training, going into yoga teaching, some people might do that as, in addition to a 9 to 5 elsewhere, right? Or some other sort of career as a side hustle that they really love. But really, if you're going to, if individuals are going to step into this world of entrepreneurship in the movement world, like they're and kind of have online virtual offerings in some way and a presence in social media, it doesn't end.
Yeah.
And recently you have been talking often about how you are taking Wednesdays, I believe. Wednesdays are hike days. Is that correct?
Mm-hmm. Tuesdays, yeah.
Tuesdays are hike days. And how has that made a difference?
Oh my gosh, it's – sorry, am I echoing? Oh no, it's just on my end. My bad. Sorry, podcast editor.
You're good.
Okay. So, Tuesdays we go on hikes. It's been absolutely incredible. I don't know if you know, I'm sure you know this too, but I have a gym too. So I'm co-owner of a gym in Denver. We actually have two studios now, and I'm at the gym 5, 6, sometimes 7 days a week. And I have officially made it where I'm like, I'm at least not going to be there on Tuesdays or Sundays. Mm. It's like, it's one of those mindset things where I need to step away for me to get back in it and feel why I'm there again. And so on Tuesdays, we go and find hikes that are, an hour or so away from the Denver metro area. They don't have to be super long, but just like, leaving everything off to the side and just focusing on this time being for me. And it just so happens that it's really awesome that it's on a Tuesday because there's not a lot of people on the trails. My inbox is like a little bit lighter and I can just have this space for me and our little family, So I have that day to do that. And then every week I take at least 24 hours away from Instagram. I'm trying to take it away from Facebook too, but I do have a Facebook group for a lot of my programs. And so that I feel like is hard for me, but at the same time, I didn't sign up for like, you get me every single day. I'm like, okay, I can step away from that a little bit too. So I feel like that's been a little bit harder to do than the hike, but at least I'm like on the track to trying to be able to do that.
Yeah. Well, and I think it's been interesting sharing how even stepping away from Facebook is hard. The boundaries, learning boundaries as business owners and as people who want to give and help others is definitely a growth place, I think, within this kind of world of coaching.
Yeah.
And so I like that you are saying Tuesdays, this is my own boundary. And I know for myself, my journey with boundaries of being like, okay, this is not a restriction for me. This is actually my choice of protecting my time and energy however I want to. This doesn't have to be about anybody else. This is about me and that kind of relationship with boundaries and how you are then setting yourself up for success in the rest of your week to say, I am going to go out in nature on Tuesdays.
Yes.
I'm going to step away. And it's not about anybody else. This is because this is good for me. Mm-hmm. And to have other people respect that. And even with your Facebook group, like in my head right now, I'm just thinking, oh, you just tell them Sundays, I won't respond. Like I'm off on Sundays. And I think as leaders, the permission it gives other people to set boundaries for their own life when we set boundaries, I think is really impactful.
And I like the fact that you also said, like, it's not a restriction.
No.
It's something that I need myself. And I need to practice myself. I'm telling you to do this. So you have to give me that space too. Mm-hmm. It's not like you can't, you know, talk to, or you can't, you know, message me or email me, but like, this is my time where it's for me. I give all week and every day. So like, let me have this too. And most of the time, like, people understand, it's really just in my head, right? I'm like, well, if I'm not around, what if something goes wrong? Or what if they need me for this? And I'm just like, no, you can take this for you.
Yeah. Yeah. You're not going anywhere. You're just yeah. Moment. When I think for me, when I realized that boundaries were movable by me, and it's not like one circle, it's more like jaggedy edges where I'm like, ooh, I want this one here. I want this one closer to me and this one further away. And I could change that any moment, what that line looks like and in relationship and the boundary between me and the way I spend time on a certain thing can move, and I can push that further or closer, and that's up to me. Where, and I think, I don't know, it sounds like maybe you have the same, where I think when I first thought of it was it did feel like a restriction. I was like, what? But I want to do whatever I want. Like, what am I doing with boundaries? Right? I think yeah. This journey of being like, oh, actually this is protection because I want to do shit in the world.
Yes.
And if I don't understand where I'm leaking time or energy and attention, then I can't show up in the ways that I really desire.
Mm-hmm. And I want to show up in the world as the best version of me, and the best version of me needs a rest day. Mm-hmm. It needs a day away from the gym and needs to get outside in nature while you know, it's still warm out and can get the sunshine on my face. Like, those are the things that my body and mind and soul need. And so it's okay to do that because I really do practice this, or I really do like preach it as much as I can. I'm like, I preach it. And then sometimes I'm like, girl, how are you saying this and not practicing any of it yourself? So
right.
This is why I'm like, okay, every week this is, and I also really am good, or I'm not as good with consistency. And so if I can stay consistent, then so can my clients, you know?
Yeah. Well, and the things that we tell our clients are the things that we are telling ourselves often.
Exactly. Don't tell anyone that, but that's very, very true.
Yeah. If your yoga teacher is like talking about, like, I don't know, joy, they're working on joy, right?
Oh my God, that's so true, actually. Uh-huh. Like, oh, they really spoke to me. And they're like, yeah, well, that's because they actually needed that themselves.
Right, which is why those messages sometimes land when, and it can be different from class to class, but when it really feels like it's the thing, right? It's oftentimes is because the other person is delivering it very much from their embodied experience and lessons, you know? That's funny.
Yeah.
Funny. But there's a phrase that I have started using, and it is tech nature balance.
Mm.
And I think this is exactly that, where we're online so much and we're doing like the busy things so much of business running right? And if you're in the gym doing things there, and where's our connection to nature? And we have devices attached to us all the time, right? And so the, having that tech nature balance, it's work-life balance is, I don't know, different conversations about that. That's like the constant tipping of where our focus is and what we're doing, and especially being entrepreneurs who can work from home and do things, right? Like that all becomes really blurred, but it's really, I think, less blurry to say, and now I will step out and go hiking.
Mm-hmm. The lines do get very blurry. That's for sure.
Yeah. And that focus of how much we're doing the busy things and of work and technology, and then getting our ass out in nature and touching grass and trees and rocks and getting dirty. And that is like, we're human beings. Like we're a part of this world. And I think for me, I have found, like you, this deep balance that I feel like comes into my life more when I make sure that that's there.
Oh yeah, that is for sure. And I also didn't realize how much I needed it until we started doing it and doing it consistently. And I'm like, oh yeah, this is really nice. And it's cool because I've helped inspire some other people to do that too. And they're like, oh yeah, like I needed this. I didn't know how much my body and mind actually needed this. And if I can, like, originally when I started my Instagram, I was like, I just want to inspire movement. And I still feel that to this day, but now it's just movement in a different way. And now it's feeling good about your body and you're feeling more confident about yourself. And with that comes with, you know, really taking care of yourself, not only just with movement, but with so many other aspects of your life.
I love that. So when you first started Instagram, it was about just teaching movement, and now it's just feel good about your body.
I wouldn't even say it was about teaching movement. My first like original Instagram was about running, and I was like trying to inspire myself to run, just like we talked about yoga teacher talking about joy. I was like, well, if I talk about it, maybe I can inspire other people to run and get up and move, and then I'm inspiring myself. And then it turned into, okay, more education, movement. And now it's like, yes, movement is a part of health and wellness, and I appreciate movement in so many, so many, so many ways. But there's so much else that goes into health and wellness. So, And so that's why I really just try to talk about that now.
So what does healthy, like what do you say healthy is then when people ask?
Ooh, that's a good question. I don't know. That's even like, it's interesting. Like people will be like, well, I'm eating healthy. And I think that depends on what they think healthy is.
Yeah.
You know, what do you think healthy is? Like for me, it's like when I feel kind of what we talked about, very balanced, I feel like I have my movement down. I feel like my sleep is good. I feel like I'm drinking enough water. I feel like I'm eating foods to fuel me, but also like I'm moving when I can. It's not, nothing's ever perfect, but it means, it's like for me when I feel good, and that can mean something's totally different to Bonnie.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah. And I think I love this type of mindset too, because there's less answers. And I think,
yeah,
I mean, in most things, there actually is less answers. And I think it's when sometimes we gravitate and hold on to something really tight and say, this is the answer. I mean, this could be a conversation at large for lots of things in our world right now, right? That there's a limitation that you have. Like if you think of a fist, right? And you grab onto something and you hold that fist closed, like what is the air? And you move that fist around in the room. Look at all the air you have that you're not opening yourself up to. You can't grab onto that next doorknob. You can't grab onto that banana. You can't grab onto whatever it is, right? Like you have to have an openness, right? And we're going to experiment with that open and closed hand, but more questions of what about this? Oh, what about this? And asking questions of how does this make us feel? And is this 9 hours of sleep? Is this 6 hours of sleep? Is this
exactly right? It's so different for every person. And it's hard to, you know, be a coach and be like, well, what does it mean to you? Or say, you know, it depends. That's my answer to a lot of questions now. And I feel bad saying that. but it so depends on you and the person, and everyone's in a totally different world. They're in a totally different movement pattern. Your book is totally different than mine. I might be on chapter 7 and you're on chapter 33. Like, we're so different in everything that we are as a human being that it's hard to just be like, all right, Bonnie has yoga this day and movement and workout this, you know. Mm-hmm. It depends on what you like and what feels good in you and your body. And I think that's hard for people to figure out. I think we're finally in a place where it's less about you get 1500 calories a day and you have to move twice a day for an hour, and these are your workouts, super, super structured, to like, all right, let's ebb and flow. Every day is different. Let's see what works for you and your body. You know?
Yes. Yes. Yeah. That's a trial and error. And I mean, sometimes I think that coaching, especially one-on-one coaching, is really, really fun because you get to have the conversations that aren't about, like, it's about the body, but it's not about the body too, right? And you have the conversations where it's a thought process around a certain decision or a certain aspect of life that, you know, all of us have. And to even just have somebody be listening to that, and you get to hear your words out of your own mouth where you're like, oh, that makes sense. Oh, I just give myself an answer that I didn't know mm-hmm. that I had in me. And that sometimes it's the clarification that comes, you know, not in acting as a therapist at all. Like, that's not even what it is. It's just like having somebody be willing to show up for you and with you in that moment can be really impactful for a person finding what their healthy is.
Yeah. And I feel like it's, people don't want to put the time and effort sometimes into finding what that is for them.
It's easier if somebody gives you the answers.
Exactly.
And it's not fast.
It's gonna
take a bit.
Yeah. That's like with mountain biking. I was like, this sucks. This sucks. This sucks. This sucks. It took me like 8 times to be like, okay, still sucks, but I'm going to keep doing it. And then I'm going to keep getting better at it. And now I'm like, oh yeah, I want to go again, because now I'm on this like high of like, I'm figuring things out. It feels new. It's different. It's exciting. Mm-hmm. And I think that people stop at the third time or the second time instead of the 8th time. Yeah. You know, they stop at the first week, second week, third week. And then they maybe are in a slump, and then maybe they try to come, you know, it's just hard to be patient nowadays, especially when everything is so instantaneous. And again, when things are easy, like anyone can go and find a very structured plan of exactly what you should be doing, but that's probably not going to work for you.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. 8 times. I follow several mountain biker ladies, and yeah, they're having a good time.
No. They probably didn't in the beginning though. They probably were like crying. I mean, I have to talk to myself a lot. I was like, okay, Tara, you got this. All right. So here's the turn. And I would like, I'm like my own little video game where I have to like talk through everything. And then on the way up, I have to really hype myself up. I'm like, you can do this. You got this.
Yeah.
It's really funny.
I talk to myself all the time as well. Like, there was a class that I took that the whole time I was saying, but Bonnie, did you die? Bonnie, you're not going to die. You're just going to be here. He's like, did you die? No. It's okay. You're going to be fine. You're going to be fine. And I just kept repeating that over and over. So it was good. It was a great class.
You are going to be fine. You're going to be fine.
Are you going to die? No. Okay. Yeah. Oh, yeah. Okay. I have here's another slant of things. A while ago, so your boyfriend Teddy, he shows up on your Instagram sometimes. I like that sometimes in your stories, you're like, add your note of like, Teddy wanted to wave and show his face, you know, so he wants to be included in your stories. And, you know, he very much is seeing all your business and is your number one person to be like, Tara, you got this, right? I'm sure that that's very much a part of probably your relationship, and at least in the way that it's taken in as a spectator, that's what the sense is for me. But you had a post a while ago where you were talking about Teddy's fitness and fitness journey and strength building, and you were talking about supporting a partner without an expectation of what they need to do or be or look like. And I think that can be really tricky for people, and not telling them what to do, or, you know, that it's their own journey. And, you know, people kind of go into partnership with a person and don't know. And maybe fitness isn't a part of that. And maybe fitness becomes a part of it for one person and not the other. Can you speak to how that dynamic has worked and worked well for you and Teddy to have that be a safe and generous space for you both to explore your own personal journeys with that?
Yes, of course. And he's such a support system for me. And like, since the very beginning, he's always been, you know, there with everything and helped me. I mean, he's shot my videos and photos since the day I've started really this business. And he's been such a support for me. And I sometimes get into a very like, yeah, like, you're so supportive for me. Like, I want to support you in anything that you want. And he's just such a giver and such a like hype man that he sometimes forgets about himself. And so I guess it's my, not job, but it's my, it's like helpful for me to push him in ways that he gets outside of his comfort zone, because he sees me do it, but doesn't want to do it as much himself, or wants to support me more than he wants to support himself. Mm. And so I feel like we work really well together in that sense of like, okay, you've been hyping me for weeks. I just launched this new program. Let's go. Okay, you're up. Like, what do you want to work on? What do you want to do? And it actually just so happens that like right around this time, he really wants to focus on strength training. And so I'm actually writing a program for him to work on over the next, you know, 12 weeks to work on his strength. And I'm going to hold him accountable, but he's also going to, you know, support himself and actually get the job done, you know? So it's nice to be able to have that ebb and flow. I think there's definitely times where we either step over each other's toes, but we work so well together as a pair. And I'm very thankful for him in my life. That's for sure.
Yeah. Yeah. So that's good. Like, it sounds like you're both very receiving, able to receive each other's input and feedback and encouragement. And what would you give though, or would you share anything maybe with people who are listening who don't have quite that same support, right? And maybe they're on their own fitness journey, but they want their partner to be on that journey. How would they?
Yeah.
How would they be that encouragement? But you know, it is like that stepping on toes, because if somebody tells you what to do, again, I don't know about you, I'm like, well, I'm not going to do it now.
Exactly.
Right. Yeah. So how, more words about that.
So when we first started dating, I was teaching Friday evening classes, and that was like one of my biggest classes. I'd have 25, 30 people in there. And he's always been the type of person that worked out either by himself or like, he hasn't been a huge fitness guy. And so I asked him to come to this class for weeks. And then he finally came, and it was like a massive class. There just so happened to be like one of my biggest classes. We had like a live DJ there, like it was huge. And he freaked out. Like, he was like, I'm not supposed to be here. I shouldn't be here. Oh my God, I can leave if you want. That'll take one person off. You know, I can. And I was like, no, stay. And he did the class, and he was like, okay, I liked it, but he felt so overwhelmed. And I think at first I like pushed him too far into it. And I would say like for people that either don't have the support system or want to, you know, bring their partner into their life, start really, really slow. And maybe you do a workout together at home. Maybe you do something virtually. Maybe they choose what you guys do together, and then you can do the movement together. And then maybe you could take it to a park, and then you can potentially, I don't know, COVID, where our gyms are open, but we're all mask life and we're social distancing and all that stuff. But bringing them in to then, okay, now we can go to classes, or like, maybe now we can do like an outdoor boot camp or something like that. But like, take it super, super slow so they feel comfortable. And then by that point, you'll have this thing that you can either do together, or that, you know, really makes both of you guys and feel good too.
Yeah. Yeah. I like that advice. Like, that's really good. So I think that I mean, it's so much easier if somebody does it with you, especially if it's the person you live with, right? If you're going to change mm-hmm. the way you eat and the other person that you are, you know, rooming with isn't in on that, that's tricky, you know? And I think the same thing with movement. And so navigating dynamics within relationship when you change what your definition of healthy is.
Exactly. Yeah.
It's a journey.
Yes, it is a journey, and it's, and it evolves and adapts over time. And it's like, you know, I don't even run at all anymore just because I don't love it. But that doesn't mean that my movement journey is over. That just means that I like something better now. And I feel better doing more strength training and less yoga and less running. But that's okay too. You know, I think sometimes people get so stuck in the, I ran track, I ran marathon, like I'm supposed to be this runner. I'm a yoga teacher. Why am I not doing yoga? Mm-hmm. But it's like, no, you just evolve and you adapt and yes. and you figure out what makes you feel good and what kind of movement that is. And just like you said, like it could just be a dance party. And right. then maybe it ends up being more than that.
Yeah, no, I like that. I think there's, I get, you know, lots of different comments from different yoga teachers saying they haven't been practicing, or with COVID, there's been a lot of people who are just like, I need to lift heavy weights. That's what I have been feeling. I'm like, great, you know, and haven't been practicing yoga as much. And letting yourself, you know, be in all the places. And again, I would say not shame yourself. Be like, I am good here too. It's okay yeah. to be here too. And let it be, you know, evolutionary for yourself. mm-hmm. mm. Yeah. There's I've been taking this parenting class, and I liked they're talking about, you know, there's a phrase, is this a battle worth fighting? I'm like, well, you know, is that what, how else can we say that phrase? And you could say that, is this a problem worth solving? That can mean the same thing. And then another way you could say that, is this a challenge worth accepting? And which is, you know, really interesting as a group, there was like kind of all these different variations and where, how do you speak on the generous end? Which one is more negative sounding or feeling? And with kind of entering, I guess, to speak to those who are entering into a new movement program or a new idea of what healthy means to them, or maybe navigating with a partner, you know, whether you're starting together or not, but to look at it as a challenge worth accepting, to work at it as an adventure. And the battle worth fighting sounds like it's a negative thing. Like what are we fighting? Like this isn't a fight. Like this is a lifestyle. And I think that's very much how you show up, is that this is a whole lifestyle. And as people, you know, go into making changes in their lives that they feel like will make them feel better, more awake, more alive, more capable to do the tasks of their life, that maybe viewing those changes as an adventure, as a challenge worth accepting, will make it more fun.
Yes, exactly. Yeah. And then, I mean, if anyone's out there is competitive in any way, you can always make a game out of it. Or you can, like, sometimes my boyfriend and I will be like, all right, I'll bet you $10 that I can jump higher than you, or I can do this. And it's just like a funny, like silly thing. But sometimes I'm like, oh, that actually got us to get up and moving and have fun with each other, you know, yeah. in a different way.
Yeah. I like that too. That's mm-hmm. a game.
By the way, I can jump higher.
Of course you can. I have seen you jump. Like the single leg people, single leg box jump, the single leg squat box jumps. It's legit. It's legit. And it's actually watching you do that, though, that I did it. And you have to have a soft box, though. Just don't do it on a hard box.
Yeah. People. And like, actually, you really don't need to try. It's like, doesn't do anything in life that I can do that. Like, it's not like that does anything for me, but like, it's fine.
But it's fun. Like, if your body can do it, like, it can be fun, right?
Exactly. I'm like, but please don't try this at home.
No. This is an advanced movement. We have someone else to get to before this. Let's work towards pistol squats first.
I'm actually, my newest goal is trying to get 52 inches on a regular box jump.
Ooh.
I'm at 50 right now, so.
And how much taller than you is that?
No, I mean, I'm 5'6", so that's okay. It's not 6. No, That would be crazy if I could actually jump higher than me.
Yeah. I mean, you're going to be slam dunking the ball pretty soon.
It's funny though. I can like jump high, like my knees. I've got really good hip flexion and extension, but like I can't actually jump that high reaching wise. Mm. I know it sounds really weird, but like I've got really strong legs, but I can't like actually reach that high.
Okay. So there's a gym that I really like going to here, and the way that they teach box jumps, I mean, they will teach them, I would say, what is, I would call the regular way, where you're jumping up, you have the hip flexion, so mm-hmm. knees to belly, and then land down, and you're kind of landing in the squat mm-hmm. on top of the box. But they teach it with a straight leg land. And so you can bend your knees as you're jumping, but then your legs are going straight and you're landing on top of the box with the straighter leg. And so it's more like that power upwards rather than the flexion and land and squat.
So it's probably not nearly as high then.
No, like it's yeah. harder. They are so much harder, but it's,
I was going to say, yeah, that's actually a really good move.
Yeah. So there's, I mean, that would probably give you more hops to be doing that one.
All right, new goal.
there's your playtime for later. I had never tried it before I went to that gym. I was like, wait, I'm doing what? And so it's been fun to work on and gradually work up to, because at first it's definitely a new movement pattern.
Yeah, that's cool. Okay, I'm gonna add that into my routine. I'll let you know how it goes.
Okay, so tell me, this is an interesting, I saw that you actually kind of have two spaces, right? Physical spaces.
Yes. Yeah.
And mm-hmm. like you're open through COVID, you're open again now. How has that been as a business owner in this time?
Yeah. So we closed for March, April, May. We opened in the beginning of June. I am one of four owners. So there's four of us. And then before COVID even started in February or so, we signed another lease to our second studio. And so that was kind of before it even started, but we had already planned on opening it. So we opened our first space in June, and that's like our fitness space. It's HIIT, it's strength training. It's a little bit more high intensity. And then we just got a new studio that's more low intensity. It's called Compass Wellness. So we have Compass Fitness and Compass Wellness. They're about a block and a half away from each other. The wellness has yoga, it has bar, it has cable machines, some personal training over there. We have physical therapists, massage therapist. So it's a lot lighter. And so we actually have both studios open now. We are doing all the things, social distancing and masks and all that. And we are open currently only about 50% capacity. However, when COVID started, we started an online program too. So we at least have that kind of revenue coming in as well. But we are just, you know, kind of doing the best we can. It's the second studio was a weird timing. I guess if anything else, it's weird timing. But we really do have a great community. And we have people that have been showing up for 2 years and they keep wanting to show up and support us. And yeah, it's just been an interesting few months, but we are open and doing as well as we can.
Accepting new people. So if you're in the area, go check out Tara. Mm-hmm. What is success to you?
Success to me is being healthy in my own body, financially free, I want to say, financially okay, and also having a positive, uplifting environment of people around me and making sure everyone else is healthy, friends and family and all that stuff too.
Mm. Mm-hmm. A positive, uplifting environment, financially free, and being able to support yourself and your definition of healthy for you.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Mm. That's beautiful. I think it's really interesting to hear people's definition of success. I think success so often is just thought of as money. And mm-hmm. I think it really is bigger than that. So,
yeah, it's so much bigger than that. And I'm learning that too now in COVID, in this time of, you know, my online program, and that it is doing really well. But I'm just thankful that I am able to have this platform and help other, mostly women, across the world, which is really cool.
Yeah. Tell me about your program.
Yeah. So I have two kind of big online programs. I have my monthly subscription-based program, which is the TL Method. And TL Method is 6 brand new workouts a week. It's all minimal equipment, minimal space. And it's just an amazing program. I love it so much. It's been my baby for 2.5 years now. And we've got a really incredible community. It's people that, you know, either don't have a lot of time. It's moms. It's stay-at-home working. And they don't have a lot of time, but they really want to get some movement in and feel good in their bodies. So we focus on strength training, mobility, and cardio. So we kind of have all of it in one. And then I just launched this year my second program, which is a 12-week small group, more intensive training called the Academy by the TL Method. And that's a lot of kind of what we talked about today. It's a very holistic approach to health and wellness. It's not just the movement. It's also mindset, accountability, recovery, and nutrition. So yeah, we're on our second round right now. And it's just been really incredible to watch these women progress throughout the journey.
Oh, that's awesome. Yeah. I know that I have referred people to your programming because I've gotten questions about fitness and weightlifting type of training programs. And I don't have anything set up like that for people virtually, but you do such a good job and are so real in your approach to being human and to, and the things you talk about and the way that you approach different people in your voice sharing to all different sorts of bodies, that it's very inclusive in that way and impactful then, right? And so it's very approachable. I feel like you're very approachable and your programming makes sense. You're smart at what you do. So I've definitely referred to people to you.
Well, thank you very much. I appreciate it. It's definitely grown a lot and it's gotten better and better every year. So I appreciate that. Thank you.
Yeah, for sure. I think one last thing mm-hmm. is there's sometimes that you share different posts where you're like, okay, this is what my legs look like when I'm sitting down. Mm-hmm. And this image, and I like looking at, you know, there's I see Instagram images where people are same person be like, this is one pose with my body. This is 1 second later and I look different if I stand a different way. And I just really like the way that you're kind of approaching, you know, this be your strong, like be your strong in this moment, pay attention to what healthy means to you, pay attention to what your body is feeling. And also bodies look different in different angles and our bodies can have lots of different things and we can have different insecurities about our bodies, but that doesn't make them any less valid or strong.
Oh yeah. Yeah. And it's, I mean, your body can change from the time you wake up to an hour later, you know? And I think we all like, this year actually has been really nice with Instagram is that people have been being more real and just being their truest version of themselves. So I think that's been really helpful, but there's also in that same sense, a ton of apps out there where you can change your skin or you can change your body type. And it's scary to see that for a lot of young girls that are always, you know, on their phones now, especially with virtual school, it's scary to see that. And so I want to use my page, at least for sure me, to like, be your truest version of you. And if that means blemishes and wrinkles and pores and, you know, thinning hair or whatever, that's you. And we're all very unique in our different ways. And I want people to feel good in their own skin at any point of the day and at any point in their journey with their body.
I love that. I love that. What do you feel like is important when there's somebody new who comes into your gym? Or somebody new who comes into a program that you've designed and created, what is really important for them to walk away with hearing or understanding, especially in the beginning?
That this journey is for them and them only. It has nothing to do with anyone else around them. Don't compare yourself to someone that's been, you know, clean and pressing for years. This is new for you and this is a step into your own health and wellness journey. And be patient with yourself. I would say that's the second thing.
Yeah. Oh, that's wonderful. Oh, I love it. Okay. Again, people can find you in Colorado.
Mm-hmm, Denver.
And practice with you in person. mm-hmm. in Denver and find you online at, is it tlmethod.com?
It's my full name, Tara LaFerrera, and then TL Method oh, right. and all my programs are on there. Yeah.
Right, right, right. And is the best way for people to come and hang out with you on the gram?
Yes, Bonnie. You know I'm always on there. So yes. Except for hopefully Sunday.
Go join the Dance Force. Actually, you know what? I just really love your random story questions. Like that's my favorite.
I was actually thinking about that the other day. I was like, maybe I'm going to do one of those this weekend. So I'll just do like 10 questions in a row of like, do you have nipple hair?
Yes.
Yeah.
Oh, I'm pretty sure you've actually – oh, no, you did a post because I like – Tara, this is a hilarious moment that you just said that. I was literally thinking that a couple days ago.
Yeah.
Because you had written this post about like I'm doing laser hair bikini line. And it's like, mm-hmm. okay, do laser hair there. Pluck that, shave this, like all the different like things that, you know, do what you want to do to your body or don't do any of those things. And I think nipple hair was actually on that list where you're like, shave the nipple hair. And I like literally thought that like within the past 2 days. So this was
fantastic. Yeah. Because like, hey, you know, some people are like, I don't care. You shouldn't have to shave for anyone but yourself. And I'm like, yeah, I am shaving for myself. Exactly. And this is what I'm doing for me. But everyone's like, again, this is so – it's just different for you. If you like hair, cool, keep it. I don't care. Like, why does it have to do with me? But I'm like, here's my journey in shaving my nipple hair sometimes.
Exactly.
And making it okay either way, you know?
Exactly. Well, and I'm so big on that. I was like, normalize – this will normalize the conversations. Like, this is what a body is.
Exactly.
this is the feelings that bodies have. This is the way that we do things. And it's okay. It's okay to talk about it all. Mm-hmm. Oh, exactly. Okay. I have loved this. Thank you for being here. And I'll dance party with you on the gram, and I will answer the nipple hair question this weekend.
Thank you so much for having me. This was really great.
Okay. Thank you everybody for listening. Find Tara on the gram, look her up, do her programs virtually. If you're in Denver, go say hi in person and be patient with yourself.
Talk to you. Yes, please do. See you.